I wrote at the top of my notes to take a moment and look around, look at your faces, because these are the faces of the precious ones that God has brought to us this morning. And so it is a joy to look around and see your faces. And I don't know you, hardly any of you, but I'm so thankful you are here and so excited that you came and that I even get to speak to you today. I think that's a joy. In February, I sat down and I started really thinking about, okay, I've got to figure out what the Lord wants me to say to them, because I have no clue. So I sit down and I'm thinking, and I was thinking, like, what was I going through? What was I thinking through when I was 11 to 14 years old? And different things came to my mind, but I had no clue what the Lord wanted me to bring to you today. And then he reminded me of three things, three promises that I could trust him for as I prepared for this little session. Three promises, and I was so encouraged to be reminded of these, so encouraged. And I want to tell them to you because I think that you will be encouraged with them too. The first one that I knew I could trust the Lord for is this. He knows each of you completely. Carmen mentioned this when she went to Psalm 139. How do I know this is true? How do I know this is a promise of God that he knows each of you completely? Because he has said that he is intimately acquainted with all of our ways. What does that mean, intimately acquainted? It means he knows everything about you. You know those things about you that you want people to ask you because you love them so much? You know, I love to play soccer. Or I paint. I just want to talk about it. He knows those things. All those things you hold dear, he knows them. And you know those things that you don't want anyone to know. Those secrets, the yuck inside of you, the things you've done that you don't want anyone to know. He knows those things as well. So how is this encouraging to you that he knows you completely, that he knows all your ways? That's not the only promise he has given you today. The other promise is that he loves you fully. So even though he knows everything, all the delightful things, those hobbies, and all of the hidden things, and the messy, ugly things, even though he knows that, he also loves you fully. How do I know that? He has told us in his word over and over again. God is love. 1 John 4:6. God is love. I think it was 4:6. 4:16. God's very character is love. That's who he is. But you might be thinking, well, I know God is love. He loves the world. He loves the things he's made, but me? I mean, I'm nobody. And I've done bad things. Me? God loves you. Individually, each of you, he loves you. In 1 John as well, we see, if you go to 1 John, you can turn there if you would like. It's beautiful. 1 John 4. John 4:9-10. By this the love of God was manifested. That was revealed to us. That God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we loved him. You know all those hidden things you don't want him to know that he knows? Yeah, he knows we didn't love him. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, that sacrifice that Marie was talking about. Jesus, the sacrifice, the once and done, pays for our sins. That's what he's talking about. He sent us Jesus to pay for our sins. So God knows you completely, and he loves you fully, you, the one sitting in front of me. But the third promise he gave to me that is so encouraging to me, that I want to encourage you with as well, is this: that God has brought you here today. He has brought you to this place, to this room. You who are sitting in those awkward yellow chairs that are super hard and a desk on your left when you're right-handed, he has brought you and he's placed you in those chairs. And he's placed you for a reason. How do I know this? In Proverbs, we can see, that the mind of a man may plan his way. This is Proverbs 16:9. The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So today I am confident that not only does the Lord know everything about you, but he loves you fully, and that he has brought you here today. Now, knowing those three promises, don't you think he has something for you here? Don't you think he has something to say? If he knows all that's going on in your head, and if he loves you more than anyone else has ever loved you or could love you, and he has brought you here today, this moment, don't you think he has something to say to you? Yes, he does. I am confident of this. And because I'm convinced of this, I am eager to share with you from his word something else for you to hear from his word. You've already heard so much. He probably has already spoken to many of you through his word. May he speak to us again in this lesson. So let's pray. Let's ask him to show us what that is.
Father, thank you so much that you have the confidence that despite knowing us completely, you have loved us so well. And Father, we are confident that you teach us a lot about how to pray to him, how to worship him. Really, I think most of you probably know this, but the Psalms aren't just poems, right? They were originally written in song, because they're songs. The Psalms are really the songbook of the Bible. And behind every psalm is a real person, a human who wrote it. A real person who had a real story and lots of thoughts floating through their heads and lots of emotions that went up and down. Every song had a person and a story behind it. And
like I say, haven't done this much. Thank you. Every psalm has a person and a story behind it. Often we don't know what that story is, but this particular psalm, we do. And this particular psalm, Psalm 34, is one of my favorites. It is so encouraging. So I'm going to start off, and I'm going to read to you the first three verses. And I want you to be imagining, what is this person like that's writing this song? Are they happy or are they sad? Are they angry or are they rejoicing? What might be going through this person's head? So he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Okay, so what do you think? Is this guy having a rough day, or is he really eager to talk and share some joyful news? What do you think? Come on. Yeah, he's so eager to talk, he wants other people to, like, listen. You guys talk too, but what is he talking about? Anybody? What is he talking about? Yeah. Yeah, he's praising the Lord. He's doing what Marie was saying. He's glorifying God. He's praising him. He's using his mouth to do that. He is, do you imagine him, like, in a corner praying or singing this with his harp? Or do you imagine him, like, on a rooftop? What do you think? Corner or rooftop? Rooftop, yeah, because he's like, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come, let's exalt his name together. He's like, he wants everyone to be glorifying the Lord. Just like the person who is sitting in front of the sunset runs in to go get his family and say, come, you got to see this. He's doing that. He's like, come, guys, you got to glorify the Lord with me. The psalmist is David, King David. It says that right under Psalm 34, you'll see David. And when you first hear the name David, what do you think of from the Bible? What story just instantly pops into your head? Yeah? David and Goliath. Yeah, this humble shepherd boy takes on this massive man for the glory of God because he trusted that God's name was greater than any enemy of God's people. And Goliath falls. That's what he was known for. And that's what happened. But then after that, something else happened. And this is where we're getting into the story behind this psalm. We find the story in 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel 21. You're welcome to turn there. You don't have to. I'm just going to kind of recap it real quick. So after David kills Goliath, the king, Saul, is like, this guy David is kind of getting really popular with the people because the people loved him. He had just delivered them from the enemy, and they think he's pretty wonderful. So Saul gets a little jealous. He's jealous of how popular David is with the people, and he's jealous the fact that God has blessed David. His hand of blessing is on David. He gets so jealous that he decides to kill David. Here is the king of David's people, and he's coming after to kill David. So David flees. He runs. He runs for his life. And he runs where he could, which is the land of the Philistines. Anyone know anything about the Philistines? Who were they? Were they good or were they bad? Yeah? Yeah! So here he is in the Philistines' land, his enemy's land. And what is he going to do? Because his own king is trying to kill him, but he's in the middle of an enemy land, and they recognize him. The people of the land recognize him and take him to the king. Achish is his name. This is David, the one who killed Goliath. This is him. What do you think David would be feeling? Pretty fearful. On one hand, someone's trying to kill him. On the other hand, someone else could be trying to kill him, his own enemy. So what does he do? He pretends to be mad. It says he greatly feared the king Achish. And then he pretends to be insane. He deceives the king and the people by pretending to be someone who he wasn't. And they decided, we shouldn't be worried about this guy. He's no great warrior. He's just insane. And so he can leave without getting harmed. And he goes into a cave. Because that's where he could be. He couldn't go home. They were trying to kill him there. He goes to a cave. Okay. Does that sound like a really good day? Or a really good point in life? No. David has been through a lot of fearful things. A lot of shameful things, too. Because he had to deceive to get away. He had to pretend like he was insane. Yet, as he reflects on this, he writes the psalm. That he will bless the Lord at all times. At all times, he will praise God. How can David, at all times, no matter what is happening in his life, how can he honestly and joyfully be praising God And the key comes in the next few verses. And these verses we're going to just sit in for a little while. The key is David had that relationship with God that we've been talking about. Marie and Carmen, they've all mentioned it, a relationship with God, and David had it. So we hear him explain why he could rejoice and praise God at all times, and it's this, starting in verse 4. He says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. David had cried out to the Lord. And had the Lord pretended not to hear him? No! He had answered him. David cried out, and the Lord had answered. And not only that, he had delivered David from all his fears. David is saying, this is my experience. I seek the Lord, and the Lord answers me. And then he goes on, he says, he's saying, but this isn't only my experience. This isn't only my story. He goes and says, they who look to him, that is to the Lord, are radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. David is basically painting another picture of what it looks like to go to God and be answered. He's saying, I looked, and so can you, because he says they, not just him. He says they. I looked to God and was made radiant. My face will never be ashamed. So here he is. He's delivered from fear in the first time when he said he sought the Lord and he was answered. He was delivered from all his fears, all those fearful things that was happening in his life. Then he says he looked to God. And God made his face radiant. That means just shines. When he looked at God and focused on the Lord, then his face just shone. And he had the confidence that no matter what, he would not be ashamed. He would not feel shame looking at the Lord. And then he paints another picture of the same thing, going to the Lord and being answered. And he says, this poor man, that is, he's talking about himself, David's saying, me, just a humble, not poor like he doesn't have any money, though he probably didn't have any money. He's not saying poor like that. He's saying this humble man, this person who knew he was so needy, this poor man cried. Again, he's going to the Lord. And what does the Lord do? And the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. David is just saying the same thing over and over and over again. I go to the Lord. And the Lord hears me, and the Lord saves me. And then lastly, in verse 7, he does it again. He says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. So here he's saying, I feared the Lord, and the Lord sent angels, messengers, to surround me, to protect me, and he has rescued me. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Carmen kind of mentioned it earlier. It means like you're in awe of him. When you admire someone really, really, like really a lot, you want to do everything that they would like, right? Think of the person that you just like, you just love them. You just want to be just like them. You want to dress like them. You want to do things that please them because you admire them so much. And David is saying, those who fear the Lord, those who admire the Lord so much that they just like are in awe of him and want to be like him and want to please him, those are the ones the Lord surrounds with his messengers and rescues. So here David is just saying the same thing over and over again. And if I could have one sentence forever engraved on your head, in your mind from this little session, it would be this. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. If we seek him, he answers. So what does it look like to seek him? How do you seek the Lord? We don't use that word too much, do we? How do we seek the Lord if that is what unlocks all these blessings? How do we do that? Now, might think, seek. Okay, I know a game about that, like hide and go seek. It's nothing at all like hide and go seek. God isn't like hiding. We have to go find him. If you were to seek the Lord, if you were to seek anything, this is basically what you're doing in your mind. You're saying, like say I sought to learn how to play the piano. Sought to learn, does that even make sense? Yes, it does. I sought to learn how to play the piano. That means I really wanted to learn, and so I took action, and I did something about it. I asked someone to teach me, or I sat down and I started playing. I sought to learn how to play the piano. Something you want enough, you will act to have. And so David is saying, I sought the Lord. He wanted the Lord's presence. He wanted to know the Lord. He wanted to understand the Lord, even in the middle of these fearful circumstances. That's what he wanted. He wanted to know the Lord. And he sought him. And the Lord answered and delivered him from all those fears. And then the next three verses that we went over and briefly described, he's painting different pictures. And I just want to take each verse and I want to try to paint that picture a little bit. He says, they looked to him and were radiant. Their faces will never be ashamed. So imagine you're learning how to play the piano now. So you sit down, you're really enjoying it, you love it, but you have to give, 30 minutes a day because you're seeking to learn how to do it. You're playing the piano, and there's one rule that your parents gave you about the piano. They love that you're learning how to play music. They bought you this piano, but they said, please don't eat or drink around the piano, because, that's not a good thing. So you're sitting there at the piano playing, and then in runs your sister with, a yummy milkshake, and she runs to the kitchen. She's like, this is for you, and puts it on the counter. And so here you are with your timer going. You have to get in 30 minutes, right? Who plays the piano? Anybody? Yeah, 30 minutes ago, and you have to play that piano, but you know there's a yummy milkshake on that counter. Really want that. So you stop your timer because you're a good girl. You're not going to, mess up those minutes. You go and you grab that milkshake and you go back over to the piano. And you sit down, you slurp away, and you play, you slurp away, and you play. Well, you're reaching for another book to practice, and you bump that milkshake over. And it's an upright piano, so it falls down, and that slurpy sweetness goes all over the keys and just soaks down in between the cracks, and you're like, oh, no. Not only have you ruined a piano, but you've disobeyed, right? You were doing something you weren't supposed to do. So now you have to face your wonderful father who bought you that piano and gave you that one little rule. And so you come to him. Your head is bowed, right? Because you're so guilty. And you're sad and you're embarrassed. Like, how could I be so clumsy? You come to him and you tell it all to him. And then you just decide to look up and you see his face. And what is in his eyes? Kindness and forgiveness. Is your face going to be like this for the rest of the day? No, once you see his face, once you see the kindness and love, the compassion and forgiveness in his eyes, your face is going to change. Relief will flood your face. A smile will return because you know, I did wrong, but my father loves me. And he's covered this for me. So that is the picture David is trying to paint. He says, I was fearful and I was ashamed. But those who look to him, those who look to the Lord, are radiant. Their faces will change because something about the Lord. And their faces will never be ashamed. So that's one picture. Looking to the Lord gives you a change of face. The next picture, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him and saved him out of all his troubles. What picture is David trying to paint here? Well, it came to me last night, actually. I have a little daughter. Her name is Anna. She's 8 months old today. And she usually sleeps through the night, but not always. I went to bed kind of late last night, and I knew I had to get up early this morning. And I'm laying in there in bed sleeping, and then I hear, I'm just moaning, just crying. I'm like, you're fine. You really don't need anything. That's what I was thinking. But then it hit me. David said, a poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. My little daughter is just like me, crying out because she woke up and she's scared, or she woke up and she's hungry, or she woke up there, she's like turned in an awkward position. She needs attention, so she cries out. That's the same for us. When we cry out to the Lord, he hears us. He hears that little cry, even if it's just over a small thing. He hears that little cry. And what does he do? Does he stay in bed? No, he was never in bed to begin with, but he doesn't stay there. What does he do? It says he saved him out of all his troubles. All his troubles, big or small, all his troubles. He can save us out of those. And then the last picture, you can imagine yourself in a wilderness. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in the wilderness all alone, but imagine yourself in the wilderness all alone. And there's like, I don't know, wolves or something out there. This promise is for you. He says, those who fear him, the ones who admire him, who want to be like him, to please him, the Lord sends his angels to encamp around. So imagine you're in the wilderness and the wolves, you know, they're out there and you're lonely or you're scared or you're thirsty or whatever. The Lord, he hears your cry and he surrounds you. He protects you. He sends his messengers, those who will speak his word to you and rescues you. So you can imagine just being encircled by those who camp out with you there that night in the wilderness. So, knowing this, that if we seek him, he answers us, it's really, really important to know what seeking him looks like. There's two ways to take action on the desire to know the Lord. There's probably more than two ways, but I'm going to highlight two ways, two big ways. And it's this. Because David had a relationship with the Lord, he was talking to the Lord. He was praying to the Lord. So seeking the Lord is going to involve talking to him. It's going to involve crying out to him. And not just the prayers we are so used to praying before our meals or before our bed, but true, honest works. This is what's happening in my life. This is what I feel like, Lord, or this is how I've sinned. Honest words to God. If you're going to seek the Lord, then it's going to be honest prayer that you will bring to him. And you will seek him through his word. You will pick this up and you will read it, because this is how he's going to answer you. When you pray honestly, he hears. We know that from these verses we just read. But how are we to hear his answer? How are we to know how he rescues us from our fears and our anxieties, our concerns, our shames? How are we to know? It's through his word. That's where he will speak to us. So ladies, I want to encourage you. I want to more than encourage you, plead with you. Seek the Lord. Seek him by speaking honestly to him. And seek him by reading his word. So that's how we can seek the Lord. That's how we can choose out of a realization that we need him. And that we really, really, really want him. We run to him through this word. Okay, so that's David. That's David's story. And he does tell us that it can be ours too. But I want to tell you my story. Because my story is nothing special. It's just one more person who, by the grace of God, decided, I want to seek the Lord. And the Lord heard me and saved me. I want to tell you this story because I was your age. I remember I was 11 years old. Raise your hand if you're 11. Yeah, I was 11 years old. I was your age. I shared a room with my wonderful sister, named Elise, who is 14. Who's 14? Raise your hand. A few of you. Good. I shared a room with my sister Elise. We were close. We even shared a bed. We were best friends. And she went off one summer to a thing called the Youth Conference, which is actually a conference that this school holds every summer. She went off, so here I was. Ooh, I get the bed alone to myself for a whole week. She came back. She came back to the same old house, the same family, the same roommate, me. But she was different. She was not the same person. In a really good way. What I saw in her was joy. Joy that I did not have. I knew it. I didn't have that same radiance that she now had. And I asked her about it. How can you be so joyful? What's happened? And she told me. She told me that she had found relationship with the Lord through Jesus Christ. And I had always heard about Jesus. I knew him. I believed in him. I really did. I grew up in a home that taught me about Jesus. But I knew I didn't have the same joy she had. And I wondered, if I don't have this joy, and if this joy is from Jesus, maybe I don't actually know Jesus. And then my soul was like a war zone. Fears within and without, everywhere. If I don't know Jesus, what am I going to do? Am I saved when I die? Am I going to live eternally or not? Or will I go to hell? I was so stricken with fears. And so I cried out to God. And the Lord heard me and saved me. I begged him. I said, God, I need peace because my fears were consuming me. I need peace. And I knew it would come from him only. And so I opened his word and I found, you can turn there actually, John chapter 14. After I cried out to him, cried out for peace, this is what I read. It's the words of Jesus. He says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. That's Jesus speaking. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I asked the Lord for peace. I cried out to him because he stirred within me the need to run to him. I cried out and he heard me and he answered. This is his answer. He said, don't be troubled. I have a place for you since you have believed in me. I have a dwelling place for you with me forever. What happened to my soul at that moment? Can you guess? Deliverance, freedom, joy, yes, peace, yeah, what I asked for, right? Flooded, and those fears, they were like just gone. They weren't there anymore, right? Because he had delivered me from all my fears. So that's my story. It's really not special. In one sense, it's the most delightful. I treasure it because he saved me. He loved me. But it's really not special because he does that for all his people, for all who truly call on him, he saves. He does that for David, for me, and for you. If you call on him, if you ask, if you seek, if you cry out, he will hear, and he will answer, he will save. So I want to ask you, do you have that story? Do you have the story, I sought the Lord, and he answered me? Think about that. Think about that when you're home. Can I say that? Have I sought the Lord, and has he answered me? And if you haven't, you may confidently know that if you seek him, you will find him. For he says in Jeremiah 29:13, if you seek me, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. I don't want to just leave you there. There's more to be said. I want to talk also, that's our greatest fear, right? What happens when I die? That is our greatest fear. And our greatest shame is what? Sin. That guilt that comes. Not just like spilling a milkshake on the piano. That's kind of a silly example. But our greatest fears is what happens when I die. Our greatest shame is how can I get rid of this sin? How can I get rid and be cleaned? How can I be freed to have that radiant smile? His deliverance is always through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ has covered the sin. Because Jesus Christ has reserved your soul for eternity when he died and was risen again. That's how we can have this deliverance, through Jesus Christ. That's the big ones. Our big fear and our big shame, Jesus Christ. But guess what? Our lives are full of little fears and little shames. What do I mean by that? Think for a minute. What are you afraid of? What causes anxiety in your soul? Concern. What do you dread sometimes when you wake up in the morning or when you go to school? Is there anything you fear? Even those fears, he is powerful enough to overcome. Not just the big ones, the little ones too. And you do it the same way you did it for the big one. You call out to him. He answers and he hears and he answers. You know, David says, I cried out and the Lord delivered me from all my fears. He didn't say he took those horrible circumstances away or that person who's bullying me at school. It didn't say like that God takes those troubling things away, but he does take the fear away. He does. You can trust him to deliver you from all fear and to overcome all shame. Because not only are we guilty with our sin, but there's a lot as young ladies, as we look around in the world and compare ourselves to each other, there's a lot of potential embarrassment when you don't look the same as one girl in your class. You're not as popular as another. You don't know how to do this like they do, and you don't have these clothes. All these little things that can be embarrassing. God knows that. Those embarrassing things too. And he can overcome that embarrassment. When you look to him, he will make you radiant. I used to have really bad acne. You might even still see it on my face. I was like scars, you know. I was really self-conscious about that. Because I was your age or a little older too. I mean, I remember just people would comment on it. And it was hurtful. And it was embarrassing. But this verse is actually the one he gave to me, the one, they look to him and are radiant, their faces will never be ashamed. How appropriate is that for someone who's so self-conscious about their face? Look to the Lord and you will not be ashamed. In fact, you'll be radiant. So I want to encourage you consider. Do you have a story? I sought the Lord, and he answered me. And are you continuing to seek the Lord and see him answering you for those littler areas, the smaller areas? The last verse I want to read to you is verse 8. And this is David's cry, because he wants everyone who hears this song to come away singing it, you know? He wants everyone to learn this song. So he says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Ladies, if you have not yet tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you've missed so much. But the promise is the same. Seek the Lord, and he will answer you. So taste and see that the Lord is good, that his face is like that of the kind Father. When you look up into it, your fears just melt away and your shame. That's the face of God, his goodness. And David says, how blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Have you run to the Lord? Have you run to him with your fears, with your shame? Have you hidden yourself beneath his wings? Ask yourself tonight, today when you get home, have I sought the Lord? Have I seen him answer me? Ask yourself, am I giving him my fears and my shames? This is the relationship we've been talking about. It is the reason we live. The only joy there is that lasts. May you taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's pray. Father, how great is your salvation. Thank you for securing our souls for yourself for all eternity. Thank you that you freed us from fear and from shame to live a life that is radiant for your glory. I pray for each one of these girls that they would seek you, and that as you have promised, they will find you. I pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.